Amen. Good morning, New Hope Church. It's great to see everyone. The sun's out, so we're having a great time. My name is Dominic Raffa. I'm the pastoral resident here at New Hope Church, and it's great. I lead our youth ministry. I lead our young adult ministry, and this is a very special Sunday for me. This is a Sunday I'm always going to remember because this is the first time I'm teaching, basically in a Sunday morning gathering. So it's cool that I'm, hey, thank you guys. Thank you. It's an awesome experience. It's funny because when Pastor Tim mentioned Tuesday morning in our staff meeting, this is how it kind of went down. Pastor Tim's like, all right, Pastor Jim, you're going to be doing worship. We're going to have Tony doing the shepherding and hosting. And then Dominic. And at this point, I'm like, okay, I'll be an usher. I'll maybe hand out some bulletin, shake some hands. He's like, Dominic, I was thinking you could teach. And I genuinely started laughing. I didn't think he was being serious. Not because I don't like to teach, but just because I didn't think he was being serious. Well, here I am. So it's great to be here again. It's awesome being under the leadership at New Hope Church with Pastor Tim, with Nikki, with Pastor Jim. It's fantastic, and it's really cool to see how God's using this church to just impact the community. So before we dive in, I just want to say, in youth group, what we do is whenever I ask a question and I kind of say like, hey guys, and then I'll like ask for a response, the right response is yes, Dom. Okay, so we're going to practice and I'm going to ask a question, all right? So I'm going to say, hey, is it cool if I just do another prayer, just asking that the Holy Spirit just really opens up our hearts and our ears, our eyes? Is that cool with you guys? All right, let's go ahead and pray one more time. Father, I just pray that you really just work in us. God, the Holy Spirit's active and it's living. And I just pray you really open up our hearts, our ears, eyes, minds. Just open up everything in us, God. And do some awesome work. And in Christ's name, amen. All right, so we're going to do a little bit of recap here. We've been going through the series Live Hope, Give Hope, and it's about living life with a purpose in the midst of chaos. There's a lot of chaos going around, isn't there? And Pastor Tim has been talking about some different hopes, and there was three that he mentioned, and there was the wishful hope. And that wishful hope was based off of something that we can't really control, the circumstances or outcomes we can't really control, right? Not a great hope. Then we have the expectant hope. And the expectant hope is based off of like a previous situation, you know? Still, not a really great hope. If only we had like a certain hope, right? We do, and that's in Jesus Christ. We learn how he is our certain hope. He fills us up, and we can trust in him and have faith in him. And then we talked about living a big life requires a big anchor, and our hope is in Christ. So now that we're amplified and we're amped up on who Jesus is and he's our certain hope, how do we give that hope, right? As believers, we need to give that hope. So we're going to talk about that. But is that cool with you guys if I be honest and I be transparent and I be vulnerable with you? I feel like New Hope Church does a fantastic job at that, being very accepting and loving. Is that cool with you guys if I share a story? Yeah, I love this. You guys are better than the teenagers. So, all right, so let's do this. All right. I've been thinking about this series, all right, and God has really placed on my heart to share my story with you. It's a little bit of a dangerous road. In life, we're on this journey, right? I went down a dangerous road, but let's start at the beginning. I was a pastor's kid, all right? So we call them PKs, and usually they're the worst kids, like the Broughton boys. No, I'm just kidding. The Broughton boys are fantastic. I love them so much. They're my youth group. I can do that. But yeah, so PKs are usually the worst because they have religion shoved down their throat, and then they just don't want anything to do with it. Well, my parents did a fantastic job in raising us where they said, like, hey, you embrace Christ if you want, but you're going to want to with the way we live. And that's what happened. We chose to embrace Christ. We loved him. We were part of our youth group. We loved it. We're part of the worship band. We knew all the right stories, all the right verses. You know, really good life growing up. Well, as I got older, I really decided that I like living for myself better than living for Christ. And I put God on a shelf. So at the age of 12, I started a lawn care company. God really blessed it, and it was fantastic. And at the age of 17, it grew to the point where I could really support myself. And my parents up and left to Ohio just for a new job situation. So for me, at the age of 17, I stayed in Indianapolis, Indiana. I was running my company. I was making some money, and I was finishing out high school. So pretty cool situation when you have all that freedom, right? I did not make the best decisions. Basically, what happened was I got into a lot of materialism. I got into a lot of greed. At the age of 19, I had two really nice cars. I was able to travel during the winter when I wasn't cutting grass. And I was doing everything that Dominic Raffa wanted to do, and I was loving it. In my dating life, I started to make really poor decisions, and I got burned. I got burned real bad. My girlfriend at the time, she called me and she said, "Dominic, I'm pregnant." Now, in that situation, I don't know, hopefully you haven't been in that situation, but you are scared out of your mind because you're with this girl that you know, but you've only known her for a couple months. You don't really know her. And it's just these all these feelings and emotions where you're scared. And the non-committed Dominic, the non-committed guy that didn't really want anything to do with relationships, he was trying it out, now is coming to the realization that he's about to be a father. Very scary. So now I turn to God and I'm like, okay, I'm going to look through the scriptures and see what God says about being a father. 3 months later, a miscarriage happened. So now you have these emotions of shame, guilt, embarrassment. I can't even begin to describe the emotions. That takes a lifetime to process. It could be something I'm dealing with for the rest of my life, but you have these emotions that are just, you can't even begin to grasp. So if I couldn't explain it to myself, I felt like I couldn't explain it to God. I said, you know what? Like, I know Jesus loves me. I've heard it. I know he wants to hear from me. But I can't go. I don't even know how I feel. How can I go to him and tell him how I feel? So I decided to keep living in that sinful lifestyle and keep making poor decisions. And then my girlfriend at the time became very, very illogical and very rational. She was in a lot of pain. She started to fake pregnancies. Now, guys, we're taking it to a whole other level to where it was hell on earth. I'm going to be legit with you guys. It was terrible. My anxiety went through the roof. My depression went through the roof. Every emotion, I changed into a guy that I did not like. I was very angry. I was filled with rage. I was just filled with bitter. I was just bitter. Guys, it was bad. And it just maxed out. It just maxed me out to the point where I really thought if life was worth living. I spent this week really thinking, is this really worth it at this point? I see no way out. I have no hope. But then I got a call. But before I go into that call, I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to stop and ask you, have any of you guys been in that situation before? Maybe not exactly like that. But have you been in a situation where you just were in so much pain, you were beat up, you were broken, you were hurt, and it might have been a situation you placed yourself in, it might have been a situation that you couldn't control, and I know a lot of us are going through this COVID pandemic with a lot of fear, with a lot of anxiety, and we feel lonely, or it might be an addiction that you haven't been able to kick for a couple years, and you don't see any way out, or it might be that anxiety and depression to where it's just like, man, people are saying if I keep believing, but have any of you guys been in that season? Maybe in the past, maybe you're dealing with it right now. For me, it was like I was walking in complete darkness, trying to go through the motions of life, and all I wanted was someone to turn to. Right when you're beat up like that, all you want is a friend. All you want is someone there to understand or just try to understand and get on their hands and knees and just go through the motions of life with you. Have any of you guys felt like that before? I definitely did. Now, we're going to do a little bit of an illustration. My buddy Isaac Franks is going to be over there. Great kid. Really enjoy him. Piece of work, though, just like his father. He's going to help me out here. So what we're going to be illustrating is walking in darkness. He's just going to weave in and out of those stools. Super, super easy, right? Here's the twist. You guys aren't going to say anything. We're just going to look at him and stare at him. Pretty funny looking guy to stare at. And then I'm not going to say anything either. We're going to see how far he can go. So go ahead, Isaac. See what happens. Yeah, keep it going. Now, I really thought about, like, if we grabbed a bat and, like, really did the pain aspect, but insurance or something said that we couldn't do that. But all right, well, give Isaac a hand. He's not really going anywhere, right? He's not really being that efficient. You're good, buddy. You can go ahead and sit down real quick. So with that, I mean, I'm going to ask you one more time. Have any of you guys been in that season? You just can't see a way out. You just need someone to turn to. You just need a little bit of hope. We're going to look at the scriptures. There's a story about that. Pastor Tim spoke on this passage a while ago. It's Luke 10, 25 through 37. Luke 10, 25 through 37. He spoke on this a while ago talking about racial reconciliation. Same truth applies, all right? Same truth applies. We're going to be looking at it from a different perspective, a little bit of a different angle. So go ahead and turn there with me. And yeah, I don't have the TV like Pastor Tim. I'm not that cool. All right, we're keeping it basic. But Luke 10:25. I'm going to go ahead and read and just follow along. Now we're doing what's called the Dom breakdown. We read the whole passage, right? Read the whole passage, get a glimpse of the story, then we break it down. So, okay. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, what is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, you have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was stopped by when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was the neighbor of the man who fell into the hands of robbers? Before we read the next section, church, who do you think was the neighbor? Say it out. The Samaritan, right? Okay, so the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. We've all heard that. We've all been in Sunday school. We've been like, wow, that's a really neat passage about loving your neighbor. We've all been there. But guys, I think, especially me, when I was studying this, I blew by something that I really didn't even understand. I blew by something in this story that's crazy. So let's break it down. So verse 25, we start off, an expert in the law. So an expert in the law is like someone who professed to be well-skilled in it, being able to explain the laws of Moses. So kind of like, you know, like a Mr. Know-It-All. We all know one, a.k.a. Tony. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just going to roast everyone up on stage real quick. No, love you, Tony. I love you. But we all know like that. We all know someone who's like a Mr. Know-It-All and an expert, okay? So he asked Jesus, he's like, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, Jesus says, well, how do you read it? What do you think, Mr. Expert? And the expert says, well, it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, okay, yeah, you answer correctly. Do that and you will live. But the man asked something very interesting. He was trying to justify himself, and he said, well, who is my neighbor? Interesting question for a couple reasons. Number one, the Jews thought their neighbor was only Jews. It excluded Gentiles. It excluded especially the Samaritans. Those guys did not get along. As Pastor Tim taught about a couple weeks ago, they did not get along. Not friends. The Jew's neighbor was another Jew. So this expert in the law was ready to check that off. Like, yep, do that. I'm good to go. Who is my neighbor? By the way, let me tell you this. I feel like I know that's the wrong question. Who is my neighbor? Do you guys want to know what the right question is? We're going to find out what Jesus says the right question is. Jesus begins this parable, okay? And he says, okay, a man was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he got attacked by robbers. They beat him. They left him half naked on the side of the road. Now, the Jews knew what this road was. Okay, so Jerusalem to Jericho, about 15 miles, and there was this one road that you could take that was very dangerous, okay? Actually, in the 19th century, you actually had to hire guides to get you across for security to be able to guide you through this, and they called it the Bloody Road or the Red Road. Now, again, I'm a city kid, so here out here in the country, you guys have nice roads like Mellow Lane Drive and Peachtree Valley. Now, I'm talking about on the east side of Indianapolis, you don't really rock those streets, all right? I know some cops that definitely knew some bloody roads and red roads out there. Now, Dominic didn't like to be a part of those roads, okay? But the Jews knew this road, and they're like, man, that guy walked it by himself? Okay, well, he kind of did it to himself, right? I mean, he put himself in that situation. So Jesus then goes on to say that 3 people walked by. So first, we had a priest. Now, this priest is the guy, you know, high official, loves God, a servant of God, makes the sacrifices for the people. So I like to make this a little bit more modern. I feel like this is the senior pastor at a church with the suit and tie, the family Bible, you know, highlighted with the verses of condemnation, okay? And he's walking. And he's walking and he sees this guy that's beaten and broken on the road, and it says he saw him and passed by. You know what I like to think? I love to do this. I almost think it's that accidental look. You know when you're at Walmart and you're walking down the bread aisle and you see Susie and Susie talks a lot, you don't really want to talk. You accidentally make eye contact and you're like, oh, I didn't see her, and you keep going. You guys have done that before, and then Susie comes and she's like, I saw you in the bread aisle. What were you? I thought you saw me. And you're like, oh, I didn't see you. You guys have done that before, okay? Well, I feel like that's what happened with the priest here. I feel like the priest, you know, he's walking and does the accidental look. Oh, dear, don't blow away. He does the accidental look and then just keeps walking by. A priest, one that, again, in Jewish custom, you can't really touch a dead person or whatever, because then you're unclean, then he can't perform the temple duties. But you know what he did, church? He put the temple and his religion above the pain of man. I don't think you guys heard me on that. He put the church above the pain of man. Whew. That's deep. So then Jesus goes to say that there's this Levite. Now, Levite assists the priest, all right? They assist the priest, and they would even sometimes be playing musical instruments. So I think of worship pastor. Now I'm thinking of like the guys with the skinny jeans, the flannels, the guitar on the back, the cup of coffee, you know, the nice long beard, and then the fake glasses. And yes, I know people in ministry that wear fake glasses. Being straight. Pastor Tim, we're going to have to check his, all right? We're going to do that next Sunday. But so listen, like we had this Levite, this worship pastor. Again, another person that loves God, serves the community. And I love in the NLT version, it says that he kind of goes up on the guy and looks at him and then walks away. Again, maybe trying to justify again to where it's almost like, okay, this guy looks like he's in bad shape. It's a dangerous road. There's a lot of blood. Or is that paint? Okay. And his shirt. Okay, here's what happened. He was painting a sunset. It was hot. Took his shirt off. And then when he fell asleep, the paint got on. That's why he's red. I'm not even going to see if he's all right. He keeps going. Well, then Jesus goes to say that the Samaritan walks by and says, as he traveled by, and I bet the Jews at this point, again, they didn't like the Samaritans. I bet the Jews at this point were like, oh, the enemy. I bet this guy's going to probably like curb stomp the, you know, the guy, make sure he's finished off. That's not what happens here. Jesus says the Samaritan comes by, looks at him, and has pity on him. Pity. You know, the religious leaders that love God, that serve God, they look at the guy and will keep on walking by, their own neighbor, their fellow Jew. But the Samaritan comes by and looks and has pity on him. And then he goes an extra 15 miles. He doesn't just go the extra mile. He goes 15 miles. You know what else he does? He goes to the guy and he goes and bandages his wounds. He pours oil and wine on the guy's wounds, clean him up, probably asking, hey, are you all right? What happened? Hey, let's get you out of here. Puts the man on his own donkey on a dangerous road, takes him to an inn, and it says the next day. So I'm thinking this guy stayed with him, made sure he was all right, and the next day he gives the innkeeper more than enough. So denarii was around like a day's wage, gives him two. I don't know what hotels you guys are staying at. I don't pay 2 days' wages for a hotel. But so he pays it in full, and then he's like, hey, any other extra expenses? I'll reimburse you, which means that guy was coming back to make sure that if he had any expenses, it was going to be paid for, and to check on the dude. He went an extra 15 miles. This wasn't like, I haven't done a good deed since breakfast, so I feel like I have to do this. He looked on the guy, took pity on him. He invested his time, his money, and his energy, and more. And he didn't care. He was traveling. He was probably going to a destination, right? Probably going to Joe's house to maybe hit a couple golf balls or go fishing. He was going to a destination. I bet that was really inconvenient for him to see a dude on the ground that was beaten, that was bruised, that was hurt and needed someone. But he stopped what he was doing. He invests his time, money, energy, everything else for that man. So Jesus wraps up the story with asking, okay, which of these three men was the neighbor? In church, what did we say it was? The Samaritan? You guys are right. The expert couldn't even say Samaritan. He said, the one that showed mercy. And guys, this is the line that I've passed up so many times. Jesus says something so crazy that as Christians, especially in America, we pass by this. Jesus says something crazy. He says, go and do likewise. I don't see any of you guys taking notes. Listen, go and do likewise. Church, what did he say? Go and do likewise. You know, I said that the man asked the wrong question at the beginning. He asked, who is my neighbor? You guys want to know what should be asked? Oh, there you go. Thanks, Donnie. How can I love my neighbor? How can I love my neighbor? So, Dom, what are you trying to say to us Sunday morning? What are you trying to say? Well, let me put it this way. Do you think that that guy had any hope after two religious people that love God, that serve the community, that are great guys, pass him? Do you think he had any hope? Because I know I wouldn't. I don't think you guys would either. But an enemy came and bandaged his wounds. So God, what you're saying that we have to go completely out of our way. I mean, like, we have to go up to people that we don't really like, that we don't really connect or click with. And we have to invest our time, our money, our energy, and everything else I have. I mean, you're saying that, God? Oh, sorry, my translation was wrong. Okay, this is actually what it said. Jesus said, hey, when it's convenient for you and when you feel like it, go and do likewise. That's not what it said. It said, go and do likewise. As Pastor Tim said, faith leads to hope, which leads to love as an action. I'm going to repeat that. Faith leads to hope, which leads to love as an action. Great statement. I reversed it because it's, you can do it always. An action of love proves where your hope is, which proves where your faith is. An action of love proves where your hope is, which proves where your faith is. So if our faith is in Jesus Christ and our hope is in Jesus Christ, then we're motivated to go and do likewise. Then we're motivated to do actions of love because of what Jesus Christ did for us, right? So you guys, I'm gonna get back to my story, okay? That cool with you guys? You guys still with me? You guys still with me? Give me a yes, Dom. Okay. So let me get back to my story. So I left it with, I was broken, contemplating life, and I got a call. My phone rang, and it was my parents. They said that they'd been praying for me, that they were concerned, that they were there for me, and they wanted me to come live with them for 30 days, and they get counseling from Pastor Jim at New Hope Church. So I'm like, okay. So I come on out, and Pastor Jim and I meet for the first time. I'm like, all right, Pastor Jim, all right, listen, we have 30 days. I'm going to be able to conquer all this sin and go back and get ready to rock and roll, you know? And Pastor Jim just smiled, shook his head. He's like, that's not going to happen. Pastor Jim looks he is a lot wiser than he looks. I'm going to be straight. 15 days in, Pastor Jim was right. 15 days in, it basically came down to these decisions. It's either I keep living in this completely sinful lifestyle in complete darkness and I have no hope, or I make the decision that Jesus Christ is my only hope and I'll sell everything, I'll do whatever I have to believe in that. By God's grace, I chose to follow Christ. I moved to Worcester, I got a job, I remained under intense counseling, and then I saw God move in my life and completely change it around. Completely. To where by God's grace I had become 100% sold out for Christ, and because of that call from my parents, because of the counseling from Pastor Jim, because of the encouragement of Pastor Tim and Nikki, because of the acceptance and love from New Hope Church, I now only by the grace of God have a job as a pastoral resident at the church, and only by the grace of God lead the youth ministry, and only by the grace of God lead the young adult ministry, and only by the grace of God was asked to teach this Sunday and to tell my story about how Jesus Christ changed my life and used other believers to give me help. So you know what that means? It means I stand before you, a broken, hurt, ashamed, half dead, and that's what I once was. I was on the side of the road. And people passed me up and people gave up on me, but God used a couple people that loved him so much that they went out of their way. They drove me to church and said, whatever it costs, we're going to stick with this kid. And it went from being blindfolded and walking complete darkness and pain to having someone guide me and lead me back to Christ. John 8:12 says that then Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So because Jesus is the light of the world, we who follow him, we shouldn't be walking in darkness. And the great thing about it, church, is we don't have to walk in darkness. Because Ephesians 5 says, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. I don't see you guys taking notes. Let's look at that again. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. Go and do likewise. You know, the most awesome thing about this, the craziest thing about this, the thing that I can't wrap my head around, the thing that I can't even comprehend, is that Jesus Christ did that for me. We were all on the side of the road. Dominic Raffa was on the side of the road because of a situation I put myself in, to where I was in pain, to where I was hurt, and I was just so messed up. And I was even fighting Jesus. I was saying, you know what, God? You know, like, I have these wounds and I got it. It's fine. And I'm limping along this road and I keep falling down. I'm hurting. I'm saying, Jesus, I don't want you. I got this figured out. But you know, it's crazy, my friends. We're fighting him. And we're ashamed. We're running. We think that he's not going to accept us. He's going to turn us away. And then I came across this verse. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, that while Dominic was still stuck in materialism, that while Dominic was still stuck in greed, that while Dominic was still in sexual idolatry, while you guys were in your filth and in your sin and in your addictions, Jesus Christ died for you. We didn't deserve it, and we couldn't even earn it. But still, he gives himself away. Oh, the overwhelming. But I'm telling you guys, that's what I'm talking about here. Is this is so powerful. This is so grace-filling to where I'm not teaching good works salvation to where, hey, we better go do works so that we can be saved. What I'm teaching here is that Jesus Christ did that for us, and he died on a cross. He was sent into this world, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose from the dead so that he could clean our wounds. He loves us that much. But God, you don't know what I've seen. You don't know what I've done. I don't even know how I feel. God says, I don't care. I care what Jesus did for you. So then Jesus, all he wants is a relationship with us. He just wants to see us on the side of the road. He comes to us and we're fighting him. He's like, hey, let me see your wounds. You know, I paid the price. We're okay. I can make you clean. I can restore you. Let's walk this road together. Guys, this is the gospel. This is grace. So let me ask you, you guys think we can make a difference? I think we can. We can make a difference for each individual and collectively bring hope to our whole community, one person at a time. What if we had 300 people blessing 3 people each? All right, now we're going to do some multiplication. What does that equal out to? 300 times 3. 900 people with hope. Guys, as I said before, I told you to imagine in the past when you were really in the dark, when you were on the side of the road beaten up. Maybe it might be this time right now. Maybe you're in that season right now. We can all imagine it. Imagine who else is on the side of the road waiting for love and acceptance. They're just waiting on a little bit of hope. They're just holding on. Imagine if we took the time to invest in them. Imagine the love that they would feel and the hope they would feel. You know, they're just waiting on a meal. They're just waiting on a call. They're just waiting on a card. But we as Christians, we have the audacity to sit on our couch and scroll through stupid Facebook for 3.5 hours. Well, there's people dying, going to hell on the side of the road. And we've been changed by that grace and we've been changed by that love. But we just, you know, like, oh, okay, I've been there before. I'm going to keep on going. You want to be those religious leaders? That's what you're telling me right now? No, that's not what it's about, because when we're changed by that grace and when we're changed by that love, I'm telling you, whenever I see a teenager in sexual sin, I don't say, oh, I've been there before and walk away. I say, nah, Christ changed my life. Let me show you what he did. And we look at those wounds together. We walk through life together. And I don't care if you're old. I don't care if you're young. Jesus didn't say, hey, go and do likewise from age 12 to 80. Just because you led a Bible study at age 30 and you did it for 10 years, 20 years, you get to sit on the recliner. That's not how it works. And young people, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit can use you for whatever. Don't let anyone get you down. Jesus said, before you follow me, sit down and count the cost, because you're going to have to carry a cross. The gospel is not convenient, my friends. This isn't something that's like, hey, this is super easy and we're going to have a... I mean, yeah, it's a great time. The most satisfying, fulfilling decision I made was following Christ, but it's been the hardest decision because it's really inconvenient sometimes. Because when I'm walking down the road and I see someone hurt, beaten, broken, you know what Christ calls us to do? Invest our time, our money, our energy, everything else we have into them, because Jesus Christ did it for us. And that's what I'm motivated by, my friends. I'm not saying, go and do it. I'm not saying, oh, go do that. You're going to earn salvation. It's because of what Jesus Christ did for us that I can't help but want to do that. And that's why I need you old people. No offense. That's why I need you young people. Because we need a community of believers that are there for each other, that's down in the trenches, that's there for the broken and hurt. We need each other, guys. We're going to do something super easy. Something super simple. We're going to take a first step today. I think we can all think of three people that we know that's on the side of the road. That's on the side of the road, that's beaten, that's hurt, that feels like they have no hope. And I want you to think of those three names. And you should have gotten name tags when you came in. If you didn't get name tags, they're going to be available back there. And you should have got a bracelet as well. But with that name tag, I want you to write down three names on that name tag that you know need hope. We could all use that hope. And we're going to be praying for them. Can we commit to, as a church, praying 21 days for those individuals? You got a bracelet, and this is going to be a reminder right here. But as a church, can we just pray for them? 21 days for these three individuals. And what we're going to do is on our next song, I want you guys to pray over them in your seats, and then I want you to put it on the cross. We have two crosses here. I want you to put them on the cross and pray for them for 21 days. We can all use some hope, and we know the most satisfying, fulfilling hope there is. That's Jesus Christ. Imagine a nation. Imagine a state. Imagine a community. Imagine a church filled with hope, and it all starts with one person. Maybe you guys don't know what kind of hope I'm talking about. Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you're hearing it online. But you're like, man, I feel like I'm really down and out. I feel beat up, broken, hurt. It might be a situation you put yourself in, situation you couldn't control, but you want that certain hope. And you're saying, you know what? I want to try this Jesus guy out. My friends, you can do that today. Again, as I said, Jesus Christ was sent down here, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again, and he did it all for our sins that we could have a relationship with him. You can find that certain hope today. We're going to have the prayer team that's going to be over there by the obstacle course. If you want to experience that today, you can do that. Maybe you're a believer, and maybe you've been placing your faith in a lot of different stuff other than Christ, and you're kind of going down this very dangerous road. Guys, let's get back to the basics. Let's remember how great it felt to be taken care of by Jesus, how he cleaned our wounds, how he's restored us, and how he's healed us. Guys, I'm kind of doing this a little late, Isaac. We're going to do this illustration, and this is what's going to happen. Isaac, go ahead and go up there. He's going to have the blindfold on, all right? Now we're going to change this to where the church, we're going to be clapping for him and we're going to be all excited for Isaac. I'm going to be right there guiding him. Okay. You guys want to do this? Can I get a yes, Dom? All right. So everyone just keep it going. Keep it clapping. We're going to do this. You ready, buddy? All right. Come on this way. We're going to keep walking and we might hit a couple stools and we might stumble. We might fall and he's still going and we're still walking. And you know what happens here? I'm going to take this off. This is what hope does. It leads you out of the darkness. And thank you, Isaac. It leads you into the light. My friends, my brothers and sisters, that is what we're called to do. Go and do likewise. So guys, have those three names. Be praying over them. Commit to 21 days because we can do this. We're not going to be the church. We're called New Hope. We're not going to be the church that walks by. We're going to be the church that gets on our hands and knees and we do it together. And we can do that with starting off with prayer. If you take one thing away from this, I want you to remember that Jesus Christ did the same thing for you. It's not about who is my neighbor, but how can I love my neighbor? Let's pray. Father, I just can't get over you, God. About who you are, how much you love us, how much you've done for us, that when we were your enemies, that we wanted no part of you, and we got ourselves into these situations, that you looked on us with pity, and you said, I love you so much. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to restore you. So God, I just pray today that you just really open up our hearts. To where if we don't have that hope, Father, that we place all of our hope in you. And I pray that if we've been walking by people, that we stop. That we do what you would do, Father. Pray that we go and do likewise.